tell them God bless you. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, oh, wash like snow and free from all sin. And I will shout, and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. One more time. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we're washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's sing that song. If the brothers in the back could bring up this song, draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Amen. Let's just worship him. Praise the Lord.
Draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you.
Once again.
Oh, draw me.
Once again, draw me.
Oh, draw me. Draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you. And draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you.
Draw me.
Oh, draw me. Draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you. Yes, draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you.
Once again, draw me.
Come running after you.
Is that your desire for him to draw? Praise the Lord. Amen. We have two specials. So I'm going to ask Bella and Zoe to come. And they're going to sing one. And say, praise the Lord. And you appreciate that word.
Amen.
Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the grave could not keep you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no right. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. I don't want to hear anymore, teach me to listen. I don't want to see anymore, give me a vision. That you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror. And I don't want to change your plans for something familiar. I can't waste a day, I can't stay the same. I wanna be different, I wanna be changed, till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright, the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me. I don't want to spend my life stuck in a pattern. And I don't want to gain this world but lose what matters. And so I'm giving up everything because I want to be different. I wanna be changed, till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright, the whole world can see that there's something different, so come and be different. I know that I am far from perfect, but through you the cross still says I'm worth it. So take this beating in my heart and can finish what you started. When they see me, let them see you. I wanna be different. I wanna be changed. Till all of me is gone. And all that remains is a fire so bright. The whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me.
Good job. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Zoe, Kaylee, and Bella. Praise God. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
How many want to be different?
Amen.
Amen. That the world can't distinguish. Is that a Christian? Or I mean, no, we want them to know that we're Christian. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's take up our offering. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Mark if he'd come take up our offering, please. Amen. Let's remember, as Brother Mark is passing, just if you have offering, just wave it so that he can see you. Amen. Let's just sing the song, The Original Life, page 376. We'll just start it and see. God's attribute, God's attributes were manifested to His bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we're raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original light, the original light, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original light, the original seed. We are the Word made flesh today, this is what the Scriptures say. And our names are seen within, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired by our God, who's the original light. Let's stand to our feet. The original light, the original seed, the original word, it's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original light, the original seed. Our eyes of understanding He has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours who were chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's the original light, the original light, the original seed, the original word. It's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original light, the original seed. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentiles' days will soon be over. Glory, hallelujah to our God, who's the original light, the original light, the original seed, the original word. It's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original light, the original seed. Once again, the original light, the original seed, the original word. It's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original light, the original seed. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and have Brother Aaron come out. How many are ready for the word?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart" as Brother Aaron comes. Let's bring him out just a few minutes earlier because I'm just ready for the word. That's the main part. Amen. So let's just sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart."
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of glory, pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Let's make sure. Yeah, you're
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
The Lord. Well, let's just jump right back in the Word. I've enjoyed the worship. We could turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I'll read verses 27, 28, and then we'll skip to chapter 3. It's been a great privilege to be with you this weekend. We appreciate the invitation from Brother Samuel, your pastor, and also it came by way of Brother Wade. So we appreciate the opportunity to be here on the fellowship weekend. It was nice being together yesterday. And the fellowship with the other churches and then also to have the services with the home church today. It's been a great blessing. We appreciate it very much. We pray that God would bless you all tremendously as we've brought greetings from our home church there in Hickory. You can always work your way up north and come visit us sometime. And I know we'd be blessed to see you. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So this is a commandment given to them, male and female. Even though the female had not yet had expression in her own flesh, or the flesh of Adam, but yet independently there outside of him. It's still a commandment to them. And then I'd like to just read one place, Genesis 3:15. And this is after the fall. And this is God speaking a curse to the serpent. He says, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So he knew there'd be a child. Even Satan knew there'd be a son come forth that would crush his head. So he's always looking for that son to come. Let's just pray if we could. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity we have this afternoon of being gathered back together. Lord, it's nice to come quickly back together. It doesn't give the world time to intervene and get into our thoughts and separate us from what we spoke on this morning and what we enjoyed together as a family this morning. So Lord, we pray that you would just ready our minds and our bodies, Lord, keeping us attentive to receive from you yet again. We believe this is your divine purpose for us to come together and feast at your table. And though I would just be a human man with my own weaknesses and shortcomings, Lord, I believe that you can take a gift that you've given, Lord, for your people's sake and use it today to bless them and strengthen them and benefit them. So we pray that you would do so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just keep going right where we were this morning on fulfilling the original, looking at God, the finishing of God's purpose for the original creation. And some of it, to see here at the outset, might be picking back some of the same things we discussed this morning. But Brother Bram talked about the threefold purpose of God that was manifested in Adam and Eve. So in Adam and the woman, there was his threefold purpose was hidden in them. And it was manifested in them and takes a revelation to see the mystery that was being manifested in them. And we're really looking at and emphasizing how the bride is fulfilling the original. That she is completing her part in this threefold purpose of God. We're taking our inspiration from the statement where Brother Bram said, there was Adam and Eve walking in the Garden of Eden, every seed bringing forth. And so these are the elements, Adam and the woman walking together in the garden, every seed bringing forth. He said it could never do nothing else. It never could do nothing else because God said, let it be that way. It had to be that way. It says, oh, how I'd like to stop here just a minute to say there is where we are facing yet the completion of that word. The completion of what Adam and the woman walking in the garden, every seed bringing forth. We're facing the completion of that. And it has to come to completion because God said, let there be. God said it was to be a certain way and it has to come to completion. And so when Brother Branham says we're coming to the completion of that word, there was something that Adam and Eve did not finish. Adam and the woman walking in the garden, every seed bringing forth of its kind. There was something that was left unfinished. And so we're just looking at that word. Where Brother Branham says we're facing the completion of that word. We're just looking at that word to understand what it is that's being fulfilled in this hour. What is it that's being finished today? What is it that's being completed? So we could fully yield ourselves to that purpose. And so Adam and the woman in Eden, he says, walking in the Garden of Eden, they were under a command, and that command was Genesis 1:28, and it was connected with the law of reproduction, which is in Genesis 1:11. And that's where it says, let each seed bring forth of its kind. So as God gave in Genesis 1:11 a commandment for every seed to bring forth of its kind, this is similar to the commandment that's given to man and the woman that they would multiply and replenish the earth, that they would be fruitful. So they're to bring forth also of their kind. So he says, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So this puts man and the woman in the image of God over dominion with the domain. And so you could see how that man now is it's being described. It's going to be a reflection of God in heaven, what he desired from the very beginning. So everything's in perfect harmony. And the man and the woman were to be in this beautiful garden. This is the unfolding of God's great masterpiece. Brother Branham called it his picture unfolding all the time. And so Genesis 1:28, that's according to God's law of reproduction in Genesis 1:11, where you bring forth of each kind, that's a species, reproduced by the same seed. And so as mankind was placed under this commandment, nothing I'm saying today, am I saying it because I don't think you know this. It might kind of be a cheap trick. I'm saying it because I know you know it. And when you already know it, you get more amens as a preacher. When you preach something everybody already knows, you usually get a little bit more amens. That's why I don't understand some of these guys who just try to make stuff up. My man, stay with what Brother Branham said. That way you get more amens. And so that's what we're going to do. Just stay right in the channel that you guys already know. So in Genesis 2:18, he says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Because mankind in Genesis 1:28 is commissioned. He's commanded, be fruitful, multiply and replenish. And so God now looks at mankind. He says, it's not good. It's the first time God says something's not good. As he created and these days finished, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, very good. And he says, it's not good. Why? Because it wasn't good for man to be alone. He says, I will make him a helpmeet for him. Why? Because the expression of God was not complete. God could see in Adam himself. And so he could say, well, here's Adam. And he exists, he's existing by himself with a domain and a dominion, but God wasn't satisfied just being God with those worshiping him and a domain in that supernatural realm, that spiritual realm. He wanted to have a bride of his choosing. So he had evolved to this point where now Adam is a reflection of the highest in heaven. This invisible realm there, this spiritual realm, a supernatural realm. Now Adam in a physical realm, a further expression now just coming down, and God says, well, there I am. So he sees in Adam himself, he says, I don't want him to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. And Brother Branham catches this very principle and masterpiece. He says, when he made this man, there was something about him yet that didn't look just right because that he was by himself and that's how God had been by himself. So that's why it didn't look right. God wasn't just happy being the highest in heaven with angels worshiping him. He wanted to have a bride that could reign with him, a bride of his choosing. So he wasn't happy to leave Adam with that expression. He was the eternal and man now in the image of God also existed on earth by himself. So he must have struck a little blow over on his left side. And from there he took a piece that struck off of it and made him a helpmate, a wife. Then he wasn't by himself. He had somebody with him and that's his great work. Isn't that beautiful? How Brother Branham places this woman that came from man, brought forth from man, and all the substance the woman had was originally in the man. So you see that God is foreshadowing the bride. There was nothing she had that came from anything else but Adam himself. And so now Adam and the woman, they are a further expression of God. Adam was in the image of God. Now Adam's wife, the woman, she is an expression of something that was hidden in Adam. And now she becomes a further revelation of a mystery that was hid in Adam. And it's only portraying what is in God. Because there's a mystery in the back part of God's mind that he's going to achieve through thousands of years and wants to bring into view. So the picture of God is becoming more complete. This portrait, God's family portrait, is coming into view. And so in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, and I didn't go back and read over these scriptures because I feel we're just picking right back up. Amen. From this morning. It says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." Right. And Brother Branham, when he references this scripture, he says, he is showing, portraying here the bride.
Amen.
So according to our prophet, Genesis 2:22 is showing and portraying here the bride. God foreshadowing this. God is showing in the very beginning with his creation, not that this was to be his ultimate, not that this was to be the end of it all, and this was his great, perfect picture, and Satan came in and ruined the whole program. God had planned it all out from the beginning. Satan didn't sneak in and mar this great masterpiece and God go, "Oh no, what do I do? What should I do? Let's call a council. Let's figure this out. We have a couple options here. We can start all over with another earth. We could try this. We could try that. Adam's got a lot of other ribs. What should we do?" He knew all along what he was going to do. Nothing caught him by surprise. It was ordained this way and set forth this way. So he was foreshadowing and portraying you when he took this woman from the man. And when he said he'd make him a helpmeet, that Hebrew word means to one to be at hand, always ready to help, to comfort and to please. He's going to make one that was always to be at hand, that helpmeet. It's a very unique word. It means one before him in opposite. So it's like a mirror image. One who is opposite to him, corresponds to him. The word could actually be called a second self. I'll make him a second self. I'll make him a helpmeet. One that's opposite to him, so it's a complement to him. Just like him. Exactly like him, but opposite, so it's a complement to assist him and aid him in his great purpose. So she was a perfect resemblance of the man. She was neither inferior nor superior. Came from the side, came from the rib. They were co-equal. And in all things, they were equal to himself, but opposite. Why? To suit his purpose, to suit his needs. And that's when the woman's brought to the man in Genesis 2:23, Adam says, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man."
Right.
The woman was made, came from the man, and as Paul said, made for the man.
Right.
So not only was she made for him, but she came from him.
Right.
And then he begins to prophesy, the great prophecy of Scripture, "Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Just as God was showing and portraying the bride when he brought out the woman, now in the garden, God is foreshadowing that eternal Eden of Christ and his bride. Because here they're together, husband and wife, with no shame. Brother Branham says, "And it is the rising of the sun, he being the groom, the bride has to come forth, because it's part of him." So there's been many, many churches, brides, but there must come one. And so he says, and it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations any others have spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. So it's a fulfilling of all the revelations that have ever been spoken of the bride. This one that comes is fulfilling all of it. It can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride, because she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. She is him with the same ministry to do the same works. And so we shouldn't spend our time trying to figure out the difference between Christ and the bride. And we shouldn't be afraid that, well, if we make too much of the bride, we take away from Christ. No, listen, the more you speak against the bride, the more you're tearing down Christ. I remember a man one time, he was he had been married to a woman for maybe 20 years and they got divorced, and he was calling me, telling me how, and was just running down his wife for 20 years. And I was just like, look, the more you run her down, the more you run you down.
That's right.
She was your wife for, you know, for 20 years.
Yeah.
And so there should be no fear in placing the bride scripturally, placing the bride in the message to recognize she is him.
Amen.
And we don't tear down the bride at the sake of lifting up Christ. It's impossible.
Right.
You got to lift up the word of God.
Amen.
You got to lift up Christ. And in doing so, you're going to lift up the bride.
That's right.
Any ministry today that's lifting up a man is not lifting up Christ.
Right.
And any ministries that's not feeding the bride, lifting up the bride, trying to show her in the word who she is, then he's not zeroed in on the message of this hour.
Amen.
And so this man and this woman, this is God's first masterpiece in a perfect Eden, but they're under a commission. As I mentioned this morning, this is the world that God loved, said it so pleased him. The Garden of Eden and these things, it's the enclosure of God's delight. The Garden of Eden, God's delight, the enclosure of God's delight, God's pleasure. And so it's man and woman, but not just man and woman, they're under a commandment of Genesis 1:28. And that commandment again is God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And so this is God, part of God's original purpose, part of his original design. It was not just man. It was not just man and woman, but it was a man and a woman under a commandment to bring forth seed.
Amen.
Right. Yeah. So as we read in verse 24 of Genesis 2, Adam speaking after this woman comes to him. This is what the inspiration that comes forward. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother.
Right.
Now there's no children yet. But yet this is what comes forth. This is the prophecy that's contained here. This is what is now cemented with this great happening where a man meets this woman for the first time. This is what comes out. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And so this is part of the original word. And this word that's being spoken here is signified that there was more to this masterpiece than just the man and a woman.
Right.
There was more than just man and woman. The man was to be father, the woman was to be mother, and they were to have a son, and he likewise was to be joined to his wife.
Right. Right.
So the very word is signifying there's more to this masterpiece than just a man and a woman, but there's also to be seed that comes forth.
Yeah.
And it's very beautiful how the cycle works. A man would leave his father and his mother, so this would be a child of the man and the woman, so he would be in the image of the parents. And he says, and the man's going to cleave to his wife. He says, they shall be one flesh. So here the union starts the cycle over again, because the parent, when they have a child, they are become one flesh again in their child. Because it's the father and the mother now joined together in the child. And it's something my wife often likes to engage in. Whenever someone has a child, she goes, oh, they look like the dad. They look like the mom. And who do you think they look like? And I always say they look like what a child would look like if those two people had a child. That's exactly what it looks like. And I've wanted to do a fake quiz sometime to show a baby picture, show a mom and dad and say, who do you see? And they all just be random. You know, no, not the real mom, not the real dad, not the real kid. Because we'll see something. Oh, definitely got dad's lips. Definitely has mom's ears. It's not mom or dad. But yet that's it. That's really what the child represents, is it represents a union now again of the man and the woman in an undividable flesh. You can't take the dad out of that boy. You can't take the mom out of that boy. It's in there forever, permanently.
Right.
So there's a beautiful thing being expressed in Genesis 2:24. A man will leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They're to bring forth now.
Amen.
And Brother Branham writes in the Church Age book, chapter 5, we're going to be drawing a lot from the Pergamene Church Age, which Brother Branham in this takes a lot from spoken words, the original seed. And I was back there in the office seeking the Lord by dream, as it were. Or trying to, maybe. That playground's right there. You're not getting much sleep on a Sunday afternoon with the playground right there. You'd think a swing was attached to that room or something. But just in there, getting ready for the service, and they started playing the tape, spoken words in the original seed. And I was like, who chooses these things? This is right where I minister. They say they've been playing this now for a while in these services. So I believe it's just the Lord bringing that continuity. Just so you could know, it's not for me. It's so you would know God's with you. God's feeding you. He's looking out after you. It's not for the minister. Any confirmation or vindication to him, it should be vindication to you that God's looking out after you. He wants to feed you by that voice that's on those tapes. That we're listening to those for a purpose. We hear that voice. It becomes not common to us, but it's familiar to us. So it can make a difference for us. And if somebody comes along and starts to try to tell you things about that voice, you can say, listen, you've come too late. Because I was just listening to that voice this morning, and it said this to me, and it struck my soul. And it did this for me, and it changed my life. You've come too late to try to get me suspicious of that voice. So Brother Branham writes, and the first son, Adam, was the spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride to reproduce himself. That is why the bride was given to him to reproduce himself, to produce another son of God. To produce another image of God. So that's why Adam, who is in the image of God, was given the helpmeet, is he was given a bride to reproduce himself. Now this is the purpose. To bring forth, to produce another son of God. That is why a bride was given to him. Amen. So then you can understand why God would say in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. Because now Adam needed a bride in order to be fruitful. In order for him to continue his work. Now if you look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 19, God has just said, I need to make someone to help Adam. And the very next thing it begins to describe, it may seem peculiar, its arrangement in scripture, but it's here for a purpose. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. So just as God had formed Adam out of the ground, the animal likewise, animal life and all these beasts, they came from this ground. Every spoken word seed was already sowed in there and it would come forth from it. And then it says, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Now remember in verse 18, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet. And a helpmeet is one who's there to aid him and assist him. And Brother Branham said, now he had somebody with him and that's his great work. But now when God says, I need to make him somebody to help him with his work, he begins to describe a work that Adam could do by himself. He brought unto them Adam to see what he would call him. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. Here's Adam working. This is the work he could do by himself. This is something he could do. He could have dominion. He could do these things. He could name the cattle. He could name the fowl of the air. He could name every beast of the field. This was the work he could do by himself. And so God now is using his son. He's working. He's laboring. He's fulfilling a commission. He's doing things that the son is supposed to do. But he isn't able to finish his work without a wife. And that's why I believe this is inserted right here in this, is so that you can see that Adam had a job to do, but he hadn't finished his job. He had to have a helpmeet to finish his job. And then even in doing this job, there's an image that's being expressed to Adam. And there's something that keeps coming up before him, because the Bible says, but for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Because every time Adam would name a beast of the field, male, female. Fowl of the air, male, female. All the living creatures, male, female. And so as Adam's doing this, I mean, every time he named the man, he could identify with the man and he could give that male a part of the species. He could give that name. And then when he goes to name the woman, I wonder if there wasn't a conversation he was having within himself. But my, it's almost like I'm missing something. Because he saw something expressed in animal life that was inside of him. Male, female, male, female. And there's something maybe communing with. He might have had something that felt like in the back part of his mind, having fellowship with his thoughts, thinking, oh my, I just wish there was somebody like me that I could have fellowship with. And he longed now to have a woman, a female part of himself that he could have fellowship with. And God's saying, that's right. That's right, my son. That's exactly how I felt when I was bringing forth angels and I was doing all these great things. I was having these fellowships with thoughts in the back of my mind. And now Adam's having the same experience God did. Oh my, it's so beautiful. But Adam could not finish all the work that he was given unless he had a woman. Genesis 1:28, to be fruitful required a wife. So Brother Branham writes this, and it's also comes from the spoken words of the original seed. He says, he did not complete all his work. Speaking of Jesus Christ now, he did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry. Just like Adam. He had a ministry, but he didn't complete it. But he was given a woman to complete it. So now Christ, he works in and through the bride. She knows that. For it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must do now. But now, but he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Just like Adam, there was a lot he could do, but there was a specific work, that work, certain things for a specific time. And what was the woman for? To reproduce the image of God. Here's Adam in the image of God. In order for him to bring forth another image of himself, it's gonna come through this woman. Because he says he was given a bride to reproduce himself. All right, you with me so far? I made the mistake one time of asking, is everybody with me? Nobody said a thing. And I was like, wow, this is a sharp group. Because nobody could answer for everybody. So I had to say, are you with me? Well, and if the individual was, they say, yes, we're right there with you. But I don't know who I'm answering for behind me. I don't know who I'm answering for in front of me. So I say, are you awake? If I notice people drifting off, I might just have you stand up for a little bit. God, I don't want you to miss this. This is part of God's program. This is what he's ordained to bring us into the unity of the faith. I haven't had any fellowship with your pastor before. Haven't had the privilege of hearing a minister. I haven't heard the ministries in this church. But isn't it wonderful someone from the outside, somebody just moved from Texas, can just show up one day and you can hear the same message preached that you're feeding on, that you cherish? I didn't submit my notes beforehand, and Brother Samuel say, well, this is a good thought, just change this here and insert this here and use these quotes there. They didn't hand me what to preach. There's a confidence in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confidence in the Holy Ghost to come and speak the things that you have need of. So we'll go a little bit further here. Because now, as we, I hope you see that, what was being foreshadowed in Adam and the woman. Brother Branham's showing this with Christ and his bride. Because Christ didn't finish his whole work in the days of his earthly ministry. But he will finish it through the bride, because that work he has left for this specific time. She's got to do certain things. So if we look at when the original was marred or how it was changed, it continues to identify that word that's been completed today. Now, Brother Bram says this in spoken words, the original seed. And I'll just use a number of these statements from there to convey this thought. He says, notice what happened to Eve's children, the first one that was born. Now, if God said multiply to his bride, to Adam's bride, and replenish, multiply and replenish the earth, that was God's commission. Yep. Exactly right. He says, and she would have done it. Yep. Right. He would, mixing themselves together. Yep. But what happened? When Adam got ready to come to her, she was already a mother. Yep. Yeah. So we know, and as we read here, you'll see that there was a time. God has a time, and there's a timing for something, and it was an oncoming promise as he describes it. Right. And so this was something that had she waited until the time, then according to God's word, she would have brought forth. And she would have done it, he said. Right. And he makes a striking statement. She would have eventually brought forth Jesus Christ. Right. Brought forth that child is the phrase that he uses. Right. And that's a very staggering statement. Right. And now that's, had there not been an interruption, And we know that it was God's plan that it be interrupted. He knew this. He actually put the woman, and this is very difficult to say, but Brother Ram teaches this. He put her on the basis that she would fall. That might seem to be unfair, but it was all for God to express his attributes. It was so that he could have, at the end of this cycle, a woman having never seen him, but absolutely love him. And that's what he wanted.
Right, right.
The woman to love him by faith and by revelation.
Amen.
And so he says Adam would have come to her, but he says when he got ready to come to her, she was already a mother.
Right.
And so he says it this way in the same sermon. Adam's bride could not wait.
Right.
God had told Adam and Eve, multiply and replenish the earth. It was an oncoming thing, a promise.
Right.
And I think he's making an important distinction here to understand our position today. She was not his wife as of yet because he had never lived with her. So it's in this consummation or this expression of the marital union. So it had not been completed yet.
He says she was not his wife as of yet. He's using a language for us to understand these things. And he says, later on, he says, she got in a hurry. What did she do? She crossed her seed. She mingled it with the serpent seed. She brought a child of death, a child that she perverted every child after that. So now they were under a commandment and a commission, be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth. And they were to come together under God's timing, under God's word, in God's way, and however he had envisioned it. Brother Bam uses the phrase, mixing themselves together, and she would have brought forth an image of God. Another Adam. Another expression of God. And this is part of God's great family picture. I don't, and I won't have, again, I'm not trying to invite myself back, but I won't have time to get to these things. But I thought even the child dedication was wonderful this morning, because God's great picture, his great family portrait, was father and mother with children. And for this just to continue on, and I believe that's our table today as token families, that we're to bring forth sons and daughters of God. Not just bringing forth children, we're bringing forth sons and daughters of God. And he says, it continues this now, because this commandment was given to the man and the woman. And now the elements that he needs are there. The man and his woman, the woman there are there, and they can take this commandment and go forth with it. But he says, here, let me take these handkerchiefs. And he's, obviously I didn't see him do it. But he said, here's the man that was supposed to be. Right here is the man that's supposed to be. What happened? Eve hybrid it, breed it. What did it do? Then what did it do? It turned to death and just keeps dying.
Amen.
Now, and then I believe he's making reference to something. He says, now here stays the word. Just the same. Here's the word laying here, just the same. Now what happened? Here's the word that God spoke to multiply and replenish the earth. I think he just heard this right before service. He says, it couldn't find a place to land. So when the woman brought forth children, even of Adam, but us also the mingling with the serpent, that was not in fulfillment of Genesis 1:28.
No. Right.
The commandment to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth couldn't find a place to land. It didn't land in the womb of the woman.
But this
word stays the same.
Amen.
It's a prophecy. It's still a delayed promise.
Right.
There's a delay. It's tearing. It's waiting. It couldn't find a place to land.
Amen.
And so here's the man and the woman of Genesis 1:28 with an unfinished work.
Amen.
They never finished the work. They never did the full thing. They never completed what God had commanded them to do. So now we can see what it is that God is wanting us to complete in this hour. To replenish the earth, it means to be full, to be ended, to fulfill, to accomplish, to complete.
Amen.
To replenish, what was the purpose of the earth? To get a bride out of it.
Right, yep.
That's what he made the earth for. And we're to replenish the earth, to fill it, to accomplish the earth's purpose,
right,
to fulfill it, to bring it to a completion.
Amen. Yeah.
And so just as God created the heavens and the earth, and it was without form and void, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon the face of the water, and things begin to happen, God brings it to a place where the great purpose of God is left pregnant in the earth.
Right.
Yeah. And he's leaving it to the man and the woman to finish it.
Right.
Yeah. He said, I'm going to let you finish it. I want you to take it from here.
Right.
But notice how Brother Branham teaches this, and this is going back to the way he writes it in the church age book. The first son, Adam, was the spoken seed word of God. We read this a moment ago, but we'll read more. He was given a bride to reproduce himself. That is why the bride was given to him, to reproduce himself, to reproduce another son of God, which would be God expressed, be another image of God. But she fell. She fell by hybridization. She caused him to die. So this is what happens in the original. Genesis 1:28 is never fulfilled because she hybrid. He says, now the second son, Jesus, also a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like what, as was Adam. And what would that be for? To reproduce himself. To produce another son of God, to produce another image of God. That's what she, if that's what Adam's wife was for, this is what Christ's wife was for. It says, but before he could marry her, she also had fallen. The exact same thing. Just as the woman had fallen and become Eve, now the bride that he's given on the day of Pentecost, this great church is coming forth, it falls and it becomes marred. And Brother Branham, there's, the way he describes it this great commandment to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. He says, what happened? He sent Adam and Eve here on earth and said, multiply now and replenish the earth. This is a peculiar statement. Their bodies was all laid out here for you to eat and make your body. That's the way he had of doing it. But sin come along and interrupted his plan. So it was all laid out. God had it all ordained and all laid out. And there was a way that God had designed it that it would have come forth. And Satan comes along, interrupts, seemingly interrupts and destroys God's plan, but he's playing right into God's hand. Just like he did with the second Adam. I'm going to crucify him. What was he doing? Playing right into God's hands. Because what you know that Satan, as soon as this prophecy came forth in Genesis 3:15, if you want to turn there, we'll read it. He says, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Now this is a curse to the serpent. And thou shalt bruise his heel. This is prophecy of the restoration of that word. Genesis 3:15 is the seed of Genesis 1:28. This is the reviving of the original plan and purpose of God. There's going to be man and woman, and the commandment is be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And so when God says the seed of the woman, and there's going to be enmity with the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, he's actually prophesying of Christ. He's prophesying of that son that would have come. He's prophesying a redeemer. He's prophesying a restoration of the original. Because it's, Brother Bram says that commandment of Genesis 1:28 could never find a place to land, but it finally caught in the womb of a Virgin Mary. So now when that happens, you have the original spoken word of Genesis 1:28 now come into life. And what will it bring forth? A son of that commandment. It'll be a man of that commandment. And what is God going to bring out of that man? A bride to fulfill Genesis 1:28. But as soon as that prophecy went forth, and thou shalt bruise his heel, Satan was looking for a son. So is it any wonder that the first son born of Adam and the woman was murdered by a hybrid? Should be no surprise to you. Why? Because the serpent heard it, the devil heard it, and he knew it's going to be a son that crushes this great plan. It's going to be a son that destroys what I'm trying to do. So the first son that's born, he's murdered. And so he was always looking out after a son. And finally one came. Amen. Brother Bram said that seed of a woman come into physical manifestation apart from the instrumentality of the human male. Amen. Why, it was Genesis 1:28. And before Adam could come to the woman had been beguiled by the serpent. So now what God does in bringing forth the seed of Genesis 1:28, the seed of Genesis 3:15, before Joseph could take Mary to be wife, she receives seed from God. He's portraying something. Amen. Brother Bram said, the word of promise came to the Virgin Mary, but that word of promise was he himself to be made manifest. God was made manifest. He himself acted at that time and fulfilled his own word of promise in the Virgin. So then this is what God did. He himself did it. And that word was he himself. And that seed was he himself. And it was God bringing forth. And then this is what he's portraying in Mary. And then Brother Bram says, here's the secret of it. This is the secret of this. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. Why? It's he himself in you. The word is in the bride. So Jesus was the restoration of the original bridegroom. The bride is the restoration of the original woman. She is that original brought back.
Amen.
All right, everybody stand up. Just stand up for a moment. I think I'm halfway through. I'm going to stand, just kind of stretch a little bit. What is it? It's just 2:05 or 3:05. You're like, Brother Aaron, you're on the wrong time. Everybody feel good?
Amen.
You say, praise the Lord. God's good.
Good.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. That's the only way I can have to tell people to be seated.
Right.
Some of them just have to, you may be seated. While you're preaching, I have to tell everybody to sit down all the time. Well, I have to get you to stand up.
Right.
I hope you have enough to go the rest of the way here.
Right.
If I started just after 2:30, I've only been preaching about 30 minutes or so, and I'm halfway done. So we're doing pretty good. Now he says this in super sign. God, the great contractor, had all his bodies laid out here on the earth of calcium, potash, petroleum. It's what he said in Future Home. He said, it's all laid out. It's in the earth. And you think about it, all the substance we eat comes from the earth. Only God could look out after all that to bring us to where we are today. Why? He was going to create it and make it. But she bypassed the way of God. What did Adam do when he come to his wife? When he come to her, he found her pregnant of an evil conception, had received foul seed. That's what happened with Adam and the woman that came from him. Now he makes this connection again. Jehovah, before he could marry, his wife did the same thing. And Jesus, before he could get to his bride, she had organized herself and become the Roman Catholic Church. These things are there for us to understand what it is we're doing in this last day. What makes us different than the first woman? What makes us different than the first church? Because though we're exactly the same, there's going to be one great difference. Listen, and this out through all other ages, people went to church and fed on the Word of God for their day, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit was taking them to a grave. And absolutely sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, absolutely sons and daughters of God, walking in the light of their day, but their God-ordained supernatural experience led them to a grave. But let me tell you, there's people in this hour who are not having the same experience. Your supernatural ordained experience is not leading you to a grave, but a meeting in the air. We're not living for a funeral. We're living for a meeting in the air. And that's what makes this bride different. She's breaking the cycle of revival and death. Before he could marry his wife, before he could get to his bride, he said she had organized herself. He says, same thing. But he will have a bride, don't you worry, that will be bought with his word, just exactly what he told Eve to stay with. He will have a church, amen, that will be bought by his word. Amen. Finish what the woman started. Finish what the church started. Finish what God had in his mind. And now I want to share this, and it's introducing something that's very, very large and profound. And I just want to make reference to it. And Brother Branham is using the same type of emphasis in marriage and divorce, invisible union, Satan's Eden. He says, a woman is entrusted with certain characters that she must not defile. And it's in this sermon that he gives this detail. He says, a woman is trusted to that. There's not a creature on earth like a woman. So there's no female dog, there's no female of any kind entrusted with the character that a woman is. A woman was not even in the beginning of the creation because God knew that she would fall. All other females could not commit adultery. She's the only one that can commit adultery. If she had been made like the original, that would have been discomplimentary to God's great wisdom. And he's obviously sharing quite a bit. You have to kind of catch what Brother Branham's trying to say there. He's conveying a very large thought, a very profound thought. So she was made a byproduct of man. And this is where he's pointing out on this balance of this. Because he, in one place, and I don't think I'm get to it tonight, he makes the statement, and that doesn't mean I'll get to it in the morning. Don't get nervous. Everybody's getting nervous now. Thinking, I wish I was on that train. He talks about how that this woman, how that there's, he says, he's talking about all the filthiness and the perverted woman. He said, now that's the worldly woman. He says, to you sisters now, I'll get to your place a little later on. Because she has her place in the Word of God. And it's something similar here. He says, but, now he's just described the woman in this very precarious way. She's entrusted with characters that she must not defile. But he was placed upon the basis that she could commit adultery. Placed upon the basis that she would fall. But yes, she has. She's entrusted with certain characters that she must not defile. And he says, but because she was cast over in that sign, she has also been given a sacred charge from God for redemption. Oh, hallelujah. Can you see what God's raising you up for? Because the woman was used for the fall, God has reserved the woman for redemption. Satan used the woman in the fall, but God's going to use the woman in the restoration. Because Satan used her on that side, God's going to use her in the end for the fullness of redemption. That's exactly what he's saying. Because she was cast over in that side, she's also been given a sacred charge, a divine responsibility, a duty by God for the purpose of glorifying God, a sacred charge for redemption. The woman has a special place in bringing forth the fullness of redemption. Listen, there's a lot of ways that God could have drawn it up. But God knew all along. He's like, I'm going to come to the end and I'll let my wife beat him. I'm going to let it come to the end. I'll let my wife take care of it. I'll let it get to the end. Right there in Satan's Eden. He came down in my Eden and caused the first woman to fall. I'm going to go ahead and let in Satan's Eden, the perfection of his Eden, I'm going to go ahead and raise up a bride and I'll let her take care of the rest. Put that last devil, which is death, under our feet. Amen. She's been given a sacred charge for redemption. Through you will be the completion of what God foreshadowed in the Garden of Eden. He says in spoken words, the original seed. He says, but God came in flesh to give us another birth. To bring us back to original sons and daughters of God. Were you listening to it? He was talking about how that new birth brings us back. Right there before service, he says, there you are. He says, the life sperm of Eve never happened. It never did. While she mingled, it kept it away. Instead of Adam coming to her for a bride when the time appointed would be, just like Christ would have come to the group, Christ would have come to his church. At an appointed time. He promised to do it. God promised to multiply. But they had to wait until God's time. And I say, it's that time. The delay is over. The Lord himself has descended with a shout. The mighty angels descended out of heaven with an open book and calls unto his elect, come unto me, take the book, eat it up. That you in taking this book can prophesy again. Be the final voice to the final age. Be the very declaration of Jesus Christ. Be the very reproduction of God in flesh. This is that time. The delay is over. The Old Testament prefigured Christ. And all the prophecies and all the figures and sages of the Old Testament. They were a prefigure of Jesus Christ. And then finally it culminates in the perfect expression of the bridegroom. We read it this morning. Brother Branham said, she's the New Testament, that's all. Right. So the New Testament prefigures a bride of Christ, which culminates in the perfect expression of the bride. Glory. That's what even these church ages have been all about. Amen. Brother Branham says, in harvest time, as Noah, Moses, David reflected the coming of this perfect bridegroom, so as Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost reflected the coming of a perfect bride. Amen. Yes. She has a sacred charge for redemption. Why? Because Brother Brown says that life sperm of Eve never happened. It never did. He says before Adam could come to her. Then God raises up a church on the day of Pentecost. He says Christ would have come to his church. But before he did, before he could, Satan was already at work in the midst of it. But it didn't stumble God. God knew all along. And you think about it, just the momentum of this. I've been pondering this for quite some time. The momentum of everything that's been happening since God formed himself in the Logos. Everything building. Every turn, every second, every minute, every event, every prophecy, every miracle, every sign, every experience at the altar, every prayer line, every testimony of the saints of the days gone by, Fox's Book of Martyrs. My dad would say Fox's Book of Mortars. I thought maybe they're all bricklayers. But all these things down through the age, everything happening, everything coming from time after time, it's all been building to where now you can actually have a people on earth and can look back by way of a prophet giving us this great entrance into the presence of God. We can look back and know everything that God has been since the time he formed himself in the Logos. And she can take her stand on the expression of God and say, it's all come down to this. It's been building to this moment and this time. There's going to be a bride of his choosing, and here she is. Come, it's come to this time where he's come to unite. He's joined himself together with his bride. And Brother Branham says, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And I just have a few statements left. He says, the anointed man, now the anointed people. Oh, am I to bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Anointed by accepting what Eve turned down. So it has to be what we looked at. It has to be there in Genesis 1, Genesis 2. And Adam coming back with the anointing of the word, because he said, my word is spirit. See, anointed with the word. What Eve turned down... He, catch this, he comes back and we accept.
Yep, right.
What are we accepting? Him.
Right.
He said all seven seals are opened.
Yep.
If you can receive it.
Amen.
We receive it. We accept it.
Amen.
So how that hybrid condition again, just exactly how he done Eve. He told Eve, don't you do this. Don't you do that. You can do this and that. And Satan said, oh, you know. But she turned around and listened to him. But the Eve in the last days is not going to do it.
Amen.
Why?
Right.
Well, Brother Aaron, we're just better and we're just gooder and we just try harder and,
right.
You know, it's just, we've got MP3s. They didn't have any.
Right.
No, he says, because she's predestined not to do it.
Amen.
Why did the first woman fall? Well, she was ordained to it.
Right.
I mean, that's just what happened.
Right.
Why won't we fall? Because
yep.
We're ordained not to.
Yeah.
The Eve in the last days is not going to do it because she's predestined not to do it. Yes, sir. God's going to do it.
Amen.
He knows he'll have it.
Yep.
He said his church would be there without spot or wrinkle. She is going to stand there in the splendor of him. His word made manifest.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're predestined not to fall. All your ups and downs and in and outs and all your weaknesses. Listen, don't focus on that. Focus on the promise. You're ordained not to fall. God of this evil age, he says, what would God call a people out of this age for? The reason is to try her. He wants to try his bride. And we've been talking about how God, what he wants to do in Satan's Eden. It's just all him avenging. Venging Abel's blood. His great plan when he cast Satan out of heaven, he wanted to deal with that. And he just knew just the way to deal with it. This is dealing with Satan, all iniquity, all sin, all death, all these things. It's a great plan of redemption for God to express himself. But now we've come to the end where now this woman has got to be tried by all of it. When she's made manifest, been tried, been proven, proved to Satan, like it was at the beginning, so shall it be at the end. There's your statement. Like it was at the beginning, so shall it be at the end. As a seed starts in the ground, it comes up through carriers, the life of it, but it ends up in the same seed that it was when it went into the ground. And the same way the seed of deceit fell in the ground in Eden is the same way it ends up in the last days. Just as the gospel, when it fell to a denomination at Nicaea, it ends up in a super organization. Just as the seed of the church fell back there with signs and wonders and the living Christ among them, it ends up in the last days. Under the ministry of Malachi 4 and restores back the original faith that was once given.
Amen.
We find now this evil age is to prove to Satan she is not like Eve, that she is not that type of a woman.
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
We should believe that.
Yes, sir.
This evil age is to prove to Satan that she's not like Eve. That is, she is not that type of a woman.
Yeah.
And I remember reading this some years back, and as I was reading it and pondering it, it struck me as I read over it. It said, this age is evil to prove to Satan she's not like Eve. In other words, God wanted it to be the most evil age there ever was, so that Satan's without excuse. Just like with Job, they said, well, I mean, look, you built a hedge around him. No wonder he maintains his integrity. No wonder he worships you. No wonder he blesses you. He lives a charmed life. And God said, you know what? Take everything away from but his life and he'll keep his integrity. And what did Job do? He proved God right. And so it's a similar thing that's happened in this day. God says, okay, I want Satan to build for 6,000 years, give him as much time as I had to build my Eden and let him build his Eden. And it's there that I'm going to raise up a bride. And just as the woman in a perfect Eden, surrounded by no death around her at all, perfect understanding of the love of God, everything around her, everything bringing forth of its kind, Satan caused her to fall. He now raises up a woman in the midst of great darkness and perverseness, and it's the most foul and dark it's ever been. And you know why it's evil? Because of you. I mean, that's what he's saying. That's the way it struck me when I read it several years ago. This age is as evil as it is. To prove the bride's not like Eve. So it's our fault. In a way. Right? And listen, that means we've got the remedy to it. That means we've got power over it. Because it's as wicked as it is to prove that we're not like Eve. That even in Satan's Eden, we can stand. He says she's not like Eve. She's not that type of a woman. And she will be tried by his word. The bride, as Adam's bride was tried by the word. And Adam's bride believed every bit of the word, all but confused on one promise, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, see, but failed on one promise under the temptation of the enemy face to face. And now, the people that's called for his name, of course, is his bride. She is to come in contact again by the same thing. Not by just denominational truth or something, but by every word.
Right. Amen.
She, now, just as the woman in the beginning had an experience, she had the word of God given to her, and she knew this word, and she was tried by the word, and she came under the temptation of the enemy face to face. He's saying this bride in the last days has got to come in contact again by the same thing, by every word. So what happened literally in Genesis 2 was the woman was brought forth, and she had a commandment to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And now what she has expressed, she's brought face to face with her bridegroom. And it's after she's been brought face to face with her bridegroom and is under this commandment, has been given the revelation of him and her purpose, it's after that she's tried by the enemy. And the same thing has happened to us in this hour. We have had Malachi 4 or 5 where the ministry of Elijah brings us face to face to Jesus Christ. Now you're Gentiles. So the way God reveals himself to you is different than the way he identifies himself to the Jews.
Right.
Everything's physical with the Jews.
Right.
To the Gentiles, it's spiritual.
Yeah. Right.
So he was a fleshly bridegroom in the days of his coming to Israel. But now it's the revealed word, our mate. That's what we know.
Amen.
Our revealed word, our mate. And so now you've been brought face to face with your bridegroom.
Right.
It's our Lord up there.
Amen.
There he is, standing there, and he's a wigged one, the supreme deity. It also shows us that it's the lamb now as a lion. That's the mane of a lion. Here he's coming in a different time, a different dispensation to avenge his elect. And now that you've met him face to face, Jesus Christ is made known to you through the word, and you've been brought into a union with your mate, you will now be tried by that word, and you face your enemy face to face. And you can do it with confidence knowing you cannot fail. Because you've been ordained not to. You'll prove that you're not that type of a woman. And Brother Branham said in the first chapter of the Church Age book, as Adam and Eve were in the garden and did not finish out the 1,000 years, now Jesus, our last Adam, and his Eve, true church, will fulfill all the plan of God. All, you will fulfill. He will fulfill, you and him together will fulfill all the plan of God. Not just him, it's you. That's why when you come to the end of the book, it says the Spirit and the Bride say come. Now that voice is united together. Now he's speaking through her. I invite the musicians to come. In chapter 5 of the Church Age book, it's spoken words, the original seed. And I'm not sure just exactly where it is in the tape you're listening to, but it's where he says, pick up the pen. And this is how it's expressed here in the Church Age book. And it's a lengthy quote, but I believe it just summarizes what I've been expressing to you today. And I hope this has been a blessing to you. It says, here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is that each species brings forth after its own kind, even according to Genesis 1:11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant and thence into fruit. Because that's when you're brought back. Because the seed, fruit is flesh around the seed. So you are the fruit, flesh around the seed. Flesh becoming word, word becoming flesh. He said, the very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started, the church will come forth and be like the original seed, because it is the same seed. In these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed. So the seed is not so much what the first church was, but what the bridegroom was. We'll come to the headstone. She will be the super church, a super race as she nears him. They and the bride will be so much like him that they will be in his very image. This is in order to be united with him. They will be one. Listen to this. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Denominations cannot produce this wrong seed. They will produce their creeds and their dogmas mixed with the word. This mongrelizing brings forth a hybrid product. First son Adam was the spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride to reproduce himself. That is why the bride was given to him, to reproduce himself, to produce another son of God, but she fell. She fell by hybridization. She caused him to die. The second son, Jesus, also a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride, like was Adam. But before he could marry her, she also had fallen. She, like Adam's wife, was put to the test whether she would believe the word of God and live or doubt the word and die. She doubted. She left the word. She died. But we're living in a time.
Amen.
There'll be a people not taste death.
Amen.
Right?
Yes,
so form a little group of the true seed of the word. God will present Christ with the beloved bride. She is a virgin of his word. She is a virgin because she knows no man made creeds or dogmas.
Right.
This is the phrase that just sums it all up. And you'll say, Brother Aaron, you could have read that this morning. We could have ate chicken all day. But he says it all right here.
Amen.
By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. Hallelujah! Oh, I love that. I'm going to read it. I'll keep maybe reading it maybe a few more times because I really want you to catch the distinction he makes here. He just doesn't say through the bride because a lot of us think it's just going to happen by proxy. Well, Brother Samuel, you're doing it for us. Brother Wade, you're doing it for us. And all, we're just thinking, oh, they're doing it for us. And oh man, the great move of God over in that church and a great thing happening over there overseas and these signs and wonders happening everywhere else. Listen, we all have our part to play. Brother Bram talks about you may not lay your hands upon a body and watch it be quickened to life. You may not be the one that sees miracles happen. You may not be present when the Spirit of God moves in a service and people are shouting and passing out because the God moves in different ways. He gives his gifts severally. In different dispensations and things, but there's one thing you can say for sure, that you as a member of this bride, you have a purpose, you have a job to do, and thus saith the Lord, is God doing his works through you, just as he promised to do them. Bringing his word to pass, however he thought of it in the beginning. And so what he expresses here, I was waiting for the whistle to come, I knew it was coming. He says, by and through the members of the bride. Not just the bride collectively, but through you as an individual. I want you to take this to heart. Brother Branham, as I read it this morning, said, I must serve his purpose. By and through me will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. What was promised of God to be made manifest in the woman in the garden. What was promised to be made manifest in the woman of the first church is now going to be fulfilled by and through the members of the bride. God is completing the original. God is finishing the purpose of the earth, and he's going to do it through you. I say, God, I want to serve your purpose. By and through the members of this church, spoken word church, God will by and through you fulfill all that was to be made manifest in the virgin. God bless you. Let's stand to our feet. Why don't you just give him thanks? Maybe we could sing a chorus of I love him, I love him. I sing it in the key of C. If that works for you all, it'd be good for me. Let's think about what he's done for you. Think of this as we sing this great chorus to him. Oh, I love him.
Glory.
Hasn't he done such wonderful things for you?
Love him. I love him. Because he first loved me.
Lift your hands and praise him now.
Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him. Oh, because he first loved me. Oh, and purchased. salvation on Calvary's Street.
I hope you can just see this beautiful theme in the Word, how we're fulfilling the original. Oh, there's so much there in this seed chapter of the Bible. God is quickly laying all these things down, because you notice just how quickly He gets through creation, the fall of man, and He's quickly getting to Abraham. Why? Because now He begins to foreshadow in Abraham what He's going to do through Christ in you. Because the seed promised to Abraham was the seed of Genesis 3:15, which is the promise of Genesis 1:28. It wasn't Isaac, but it was actually Christ. And Paul picks this up, and you're tracing it all the way back to Genesis. And what you find, Genesis is foreshadowing. You go all the way back now, thousands and thousands of years later, here you are. Over 6,000 years later, and here we are. And that's what was foreshadowed then. It's amazing to think of it that way, but that's exactly what it is. Really? This? This gathering right here? And this almost 50-year-old building, whatever it is, you're the culmination of Genesis 1? You're the culmination of Genesis 2? You're the bride of Genesis 3:15? Really? Well, just go back to the days of Christ, 120 gathered in an upper room, and that was the culmination of Jesus' ministry. It's always been that way. Accept it. You are fulfilling the original purpose and plan of God. Let's serve His purpose. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we stand here this afternoon, just feeling a greater love in Your Word now, Lord. Just feeling as if we've communed with You and You've spoken to our hearts. And Lord, we believe that You've taken the things that we've heard before, and we believe, and You've just rehearsed them in our ears to enthuse us once again of these great principles and truth. And Father, I pray today that You bless these people. It's wonderful to see this family of God come together, and there's a genuine fellowship amongst them. And Lord, we know every church is not without difficulty, that there's challenges they face. Lord, of personalities and offenses. And Lord, there's even different ways of doing things. And it's just this sticky human nature that we have. But Lord, we believe if we can let this Word have preeminence, it'll blend us together and harmonize our voices, harmonize our differences. And Lord, allow us to come into this vocal union where this church here, regardless of our different backgrounds, our different ethnicities, and our different financial conditions, different ways of doing things in different ministries, if we could submit under the headship of the Word and let You have the preeminence, then we can harmonize together and be a great voice living out against the enemy in this hour. And I pray that You help us, Lord, to serve our purpose, to further unfold Yourself through us, Lord. Lord, let us become the very image of God by Your Word. We commit the people to You, desiring that You just have Your way, Lord. Bless them, I pray. May there be something special poured out upon them, Lord. So I just seal these things from my heart, delivering my burden, Lord. May You bless them abundantly with a great revelation, Lord, and the move of the Spirit and Your preeminence amongst them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can't we just sing that song, I Bless Your Name?
Some midnight hour, if You should find You're in a prison in Your mind, reach out and praise, defy those chains, and they will fall.
They'll fall because they're broken. You've been set free.
I bless Your name. I bless Your name. I give You honor, give You praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless Your
Lift your hands in praise and sing it. I bless Your name.
Oh, I bless Your name.
God bless you. May the Lord be with you.
I bless Your name. I give You honor.
manner give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Amen. You enjoy the service? Let's give our brother a good hand. Believe it, don't we? And we're part of that.
Amen.
I like for somebody to talk about me.
Amen.
Now, don't you dare tell me you don't like to be talked about on good things.
That's
you
right.
Always like to hear somebody bragging on you, don't
right.
you?
Amen.
Well, you know, our brother done a good job bragging
Amen.
On us.
Amen.
Because that's what we are.
Right.
We're
Amen.
His bride.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're his bride.
Amen.
Covered in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brought it out to the day that you and I are living.
Right.
What a wonderful time. Make sure you tell our brother how much you appreciate it and everything. Appreciate him coming down, his family coming with him and fellowshipping. Pray that he'll feel led sometime, come back this way. We'll always be here and everything. Just thank you. Want to thank everybody, all of the sisters, brothers and everything for all of the food, the work and the toil and the labors and everything of getting everything ready for the weekend. We had enough food, everything was taken care of, and we had a good time.
Amen.
So let's just thank God, because He's the one we praise. We praise and honor Him. Amen. And honor Him. Amen. Anybody have anything to say before we go? We miss announcements? Nothing. Nothing announcement. Okay. Just make sure, as I said, tell our brother how much you appreciate it, because we do. Father, we thank you for this day and this opportunity of gathering together. We pray that you, Lord, would let this not come to an end in our thoughts and minds, but let it be manifest the things that you have spoken unto us. Because we believe you and we thank you. And just have your way. Bless everybody on the way home this afternoon. Give everybody a safe journey. Give our brother and sister there a safe journey home and just let everything be all right. Place these old clouds or whatever is rolling, let they'll roll out of the way, and everything will be all right. We love you, and we thank you, and just have your way. Forgive our sins, Lord. The biggest sin of all that we have, and we know that, is not to believe who we are. Because you keep telling us who we are, but we just don't believe it sometimes. We can't get that right, maybe, in our minds, but it's working on us, and it'll be all right, because it'll be there when the time is needful. All will be made right. We love you and we thank you. Bless and guide each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah. There are many, many others in the Bible. I should like to meet.